not man, what is man, where would it's mammon,
yep.
Where would it's men, but this is about magazine on RTR. Good morning, this is RTR FM Moorish Mag, our weekly exciting good news program, also on Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Luggery Radio up on Ninka Country in Derby. Oh, I hope the Derby mob don't give me a slap it now for perhaps pronouncing that wrong. Luggery, I understand Luggery is the Nyinkana name for a baobab tree. Learning all these things about different country, different mobs. So greetings there from Whadjuk country. And greetings to our mob in Menang country down in Albany way. So, we're starting to spread ourselves around the country like Vegemite, eh? That's what it sounds like and what it looks like. A bit of colour here and there. It's a bit like half coffee. Half coffee, flat white, latte, cappuccino, maybe flat black. Oh, tall black. How you going, Tony?
Yeah, not bad, Jimbo. Great to be back on air and great to be back in your company again.
Oh, where you been? You got your No Pride in Genocide shirt. Why you got that act? You going to be busy with the screenings or what?
Yes. It's getting very busy at this stage, and which is really nice because it tells me that people have an appetite for truth-telling and wanting to learn more about the untold stories of our history.
Too true, eh? And, we're both involved in genocide in the Wildflower State. RTR are hosting a program Sunday after Reconciliation Week at Luna. Hope you're keeping your eyes and ears open on that, Moorish Mag listeners, because you'll need to register online. But also there's a Saturday screening out at Gosnells, Saturday prior. We'll talk some more about it during the program, but today we're talking about a forum that was conducted the last 3 days over at Optus and convened and facilitated by the West Australian Council of Social Services, WACOS, and CASWA, the new body, the new pig body, Council of Aboriginal Services, WA. I must say, a marvellous job. Congratulations to those organisations on the level of presentations, the way it was conducted, I think up to 500 people. And the awards on the first night, the WACOS Awards, which we'll talk some more about too. We've got Jade Thompson joining the program shortly, a regular guest on Moorish Mag, glad to kick it and the marvellous work she's been doing. And hopefully getting someone from Social Reinvestment WA to yarn also about their input to this amazing conference. And we'll talk, as I say, we'll talk more. It's the major theme of the WACOS and CASWA conference was leaving no one behind, which has some amazing connotations, I think, for us and anybody who's listening. You don't want to be left behind, eh? I mean, you want to jump on the bus with everyone. And when you're jumping on the bus with the mob from Moorish Mag, RTR, FM, I mean, a lot of listeners out there. I don't know how many people listen to the program. Hey, but if you are listening, 0405 921 921 is our text line. 0405 921 921. If you like to say a hello, maybe even say you're coming along to the RTR FM Moorish Mag screening Sunday week. Is it Sunday week? It is Sunday
yes,
week.
Yes, it is, Jimbo.
So that must be the... Gee, my maths are no good. What date is that? That'll be about the 1st of June, eh? Anyway, it is. We'll correct that as the day goes by, as the program goes by here on Mortish Mag. Let's go to a song. If you just tuned in, you listen to the deadliest program, Mortish Mag. Before the break, dancing Callum Mangulu Country and Kimberley Rock from Mowinjum near Derby on Nyingana Country, where you're listening also on Lagardy Radio. We're playing some songs from the Kimberley today as a dedication to our transmission into the Kimberley on Nyingana Country, and met a couple of Nyingana people in the last couple of days at the conference. Chaired and facilitated by WACOS and Council for Aboriginal Services WA. And one of the people that was at the conference and at the dinner where an award was given to Reconciliation WA is Jade Thompson. Good morning, Jade.
Good morning, Uncle Jim. How are you going?
Oh, look, I'm just... I'm feeling like it's Friday already, given the last few days of exhausting listening, talking... And the big dinner on the other night where Reconciliation Western Australia won an award. And so welcome to Mortish Mag, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Lulgardy Radio in Derby. Hey, how did it feel to be part of that huge forum? You better say hello to Tonji, otherwise he'll get... He'll spit the dummy.
Good morning, Jade. How are you? And just for the audience, who's your mob and where are you from?
Oh, all right. So my name's Jade Thompson. My mum's woman, and Wajak's next to me from my dad's line, and Wajala, 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 my mum's line. And yeah, so Noongar born, but I was raised up in the Pilbara, and so yeah, come back as a young adult and went to uni and been down this way ever since. I have my own family and reconnect and do some good work in community, I hope, and keep doing that.
Good. Yes, we know you're doing good work. You've been acknowledged by the West Australian Council of Social Services and Council of Aboriginal Services WA, and wow, what a buzz. We were at the table when you were acknowledged for your work with Reconciliation WA. So how did you feel about receiving the award? Because we're going to ask you what the award's all about and what you're endeavouring to do in place-based reconciliation, mm-hmm. which we have talked about previously. So welcome back to Mortish Mag.
Yeah,
tell us how you feel.
One, very surprised on the night. I wasn't expecting that, you know. And I don't think we undertake this kind of work and, you know, these things for recognition and things like that. But I think it was just really lovely to acknowledge that, you know, all the efforts of everyone that's come into this space, you know, and lent in and committed to keep, you know, working and walking together through what's been a real sensitive and challenging time the last 2 years has been an absolute, you know, honour, and it's really humbling and always inspiring. I think the way people keep showing up and looking at how we can, you know, sort of reimagine how we do reconciliation on the ground and make sure we're bringing that back down to the community and the people, you know, because the corporates have, you know, punched and held space a lot.
Good,
and
good.
I think we've forgot about sometimes, you know, the wider community and the people. So I'm trying to figure this model out with everybody and how we do that in a way that's actually meaningful and respectful to mob on the ground and the communities that we all work in. So,
too lovely
to have you there.
Too lovely. Before we talk about what it means, maybe a big shout out to Minang, eh? And Ezard Flowers came on and accepted the award at the dinner the other night. So a big shout out to Ezard Flowers. Hopefully he's listening. Because the program is broadcast a couple of times in the next week, but we won't tell anyone that because they think they're listening now. So a big shout out to who the mob in Minang you want to say hello to?
Oh, pretty much everyone, yeah. I think Uncle Lester, you know, Coyne down there, he's, you know, been really gracious in mentoring me and helping me, you know, work on country down there. You know, Arnie Burns has been, you know, at our last big yarn in Denmark, give us a really beautiful welcome and reflections on where they're standing and how they're feeling on country at the moment.
Yep.
Also, you know, Uncle Azad really played a big role in our first respect rising down, and helping mentor me as well, you know, through some of the challenging pieces and yourself and you know, Alan and all the community groups down there, Paula, yep. Gorenina, you know.
Too good. Save you some embarrassment. I think we'll just do a big shout out to the Coal Bungs, the Crackers, the Millers, the Coins, mm-hmm. the Loos, the Winds, the Flowers. There's a big mob down there.
Everybody.
The Woodses, the Eads. That'll save you some embarrassment, eh? What do you reckon?
I'm not embarrassed. You know how it goes. I've got to build my relationships up slowly, and that takes trust. And, you know, people
it
have
does.
To fill me out and our organisation out. And you know, I've got to earn trust and respect down there. So it's lovely to hear Oscar in his award nomination. You know, shout out to the work we're doing and the community that's supporting the work down there too. You know, I really appreciate that. And yes, as well, all the community leaders down there trying to do their best for their mob. So.
Okay. Right, we're giving a big shout out to the mob in Ninkina Country in Derby because our radio station is our program goes up to Ninkina on Lulgrady Radio. So we'll be dedicating some music to the Kimberley Fitzroy Express coming up and some new music. But tell us then, so what does the award mean and how did it come about?
How did it come about? I think, you know, we get these nominations come through and. You know, get a submission in and get them through a process for selection. And I think there was about 250 for this category, which is pretty cool. And it's number two for a standout medium organisation, Engines of Progress and Creativity. And that was really about, you know, how you're innovating and, you know, trying new approaches to things to make sure things are grounded in the community and, place-based kind of work, and that's the whole model that we've been able to work on and design that way. So, you know, there's a huge diversity of sectors and programs represented on the night, and it was good to see some of the Marawara women of the night house work up there.
Too good.
Take that award out as well. That was real deadly. Yeah, a lot of mob represented on the night. So
got
to be
jerking
for that one.
Good. So when we talk about place-based, and quite a, you know, that was discussed a number of times over the last few days, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, when you talk about place-based, you'd expect people to work together on the ground at community level and don't work in isolation or in silos.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what the emphasis is, isn't it? The award was about Albany being place-based on Minang and other mobs around the area, Goorang, I guess, and coming further forward than earth. So there's been a number of discussions that you've been facilitating, and you mentioned Denmark. So there was a large meeting of all concerned a number of months ago. Gee, it must be about 18 months ago when you kicked it off, eh?
I think the idea to do a place-based part was done in partnership with Rec WA and Rec Australia. In late 2023, and then I came on board to really start, you know, scoping out what SWA's regionalisation strategy might look like, which I thought was a fantastic opportunity to find, you know, a way to have a bit of a structure to bring people back together after a new would be a tough time with that referendum. So it was like a really perfect opportunity, you know, that I could see. To really bring people together, make that healing happen. And I guess what we did down in the place-based pilot from 2024 through 2025 and ongoing, we'll start to build this rising program with the ultimate aim to do a place-based reconciliation action plan. And that is with a regional scope. We got that first rising of work done in respect to rising, which landed a landscape report from those yarns that I had across Katanning, Albany, Denmark, Malangarup, and a few other places. And, you know, there's an open invitation for anyone else down that way that wants to get on board. But what we did with that respect rising phase of the program was be able to pull that out after the referendum and then start taking that out to the wider Western Australia. And we did that with UNOB through Yokai as the elders.
Yep.
You know, we've had Elder Johns with a few other partners to the regions, We've had him on Country Hill with LAA, and we had those big yarns at RFS2 and the Constitution Centre. You know, and what was done with that is, you know, really being able to inform a really responsive strategic plan that our organisation at WA is going to be launching during NRW, which I'm super excited about because, you know, from a place of integrity, we get to open that conversation up to over 1,000 people to hear their voices on how we best, you know, move forward reconciliation from our state. And I think our plan really reflects that, so I'm super excited to see that launch. And I think everyone will see how their voices have shown up in that too, so I'm actually stoked for that.
Right, we're talking to Jade Thompson from Reconciliation WA. Remind our listeners what the category was that you won, please.
Yep, so it was the Category 2 Standout Meeting Organisation, Engines of Progress and Creativity.
Right. So, Jade Thompson, we're going to keep you honest now and invite you back every couple of months to yarn on the progress of this award. And obviously, really keen to hear some more because that's my mob down in Minang country and Goorang. So.
Yep.
Jade, appreciate your time. You got a question for this?
Yeah, Jade, I just think maybe next time when we get you back on is just to give us a bit more of an update what's happening with the base place rep with... with the Minang people in regards to the bicentennial that is coming up.
Oh, for sure.
So that may be something that we could talk about and continue to keep our listeners updated with what's going on.
Good on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks, lads, and big shout-out to all the mob and everyone that's coming to those respect for us and yarns because, you know, this is a reflection of all of our work together. And
good on you, Jade. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your time coming on Woodich Mag 92.1. We're going to go to a song, and here's Fitzroy Express, Home Sweet Home. Thanks, Jade. Sweet Home Fitzroy Express, all the way from Bunuba Country up there in the Kimberley, dedicating Muddish Mag today to the Kimberley, playing some music from Derby. Got Pigram Brothers coming up soon, and Naomi Pigram as well. Used to be Little Piggies. The Pigram Brothers have been around forever, and we might just have to get a bit of bio and talk about them. But some amazing talent in the Kimberley region, and I've often played some of their music, but Fitzroy Express has been one of the better ones, Home Sweet Home. And shortly, Glenda Kickett's coming on the program to talk about another award from WACOS, Tony.
Wow, isn't it amazing to see these wonderful people being acknowledged for the great work that they're doing in our communities? And it's tireless work, and they've been involved for generations, really. Heavily working hard, and Glenda's a real inspirational and a wonderful leader and passionate about the work that she does. And even now with her own corporation up and running and working in that space around out-of-home care as well, which is, you know, credit to herself.
So she's going to be on the program shortly. Glenda Kickett, a regular to Muddish Mag, to discuss the partnership she has with an organisation that she's really familiar with, and we'll let her discuss that. But we'll get Glenda on shortly. But Pigram Brothers coming up, Road Train. They were heavily involved in Broome musical and theatrical exports during the original backing band for Jimmy Chire's 1990 musical Brand New Day, which received international acclaim. They also have a large music influence from an early age and grew up in the rich musical culture at Broome. Alan, Stephen and Philip were members of Scrap Metal from 1983 until its separation in 1995. And then, of course, the Pigrams took over. We're playing them shortly whilst we try and get hold of Glenda Kickett and Naomi Pigram coming up as well. Here's Pigram Brothers. It hurts to be me. Oh, it hurts me sometimes when I wake up every morning. It hurts me. And we're lucky to wake up. Hurts to be me, Naomi Pigram. Good morning, Glenda Kickett. How are you?
Good
Good morning, Jim. I'm good, thanks.
Good morning, Glenda. It's Tony Hanson. Welcome to RTR FM. In Who's Your Mob and Where You're From?
Okay. Good morning, Tony. my mob, biggest mob. I'm a kicker, of course, on my dad's side, and a big family across, Wadjuk, Wilman, Balladong country, and my family are really the Kikit family of Kabaling and Narrogin, but we have connections, you know, right through to Balladong country and Wadjuk, and then on my mum's side it's Garlett and Yarran, and so big families as well through Wadjuk, Balladong, and also Humes also on my dad's side. So another big family, and yeah, we're all connected through that, through those family lines. So yeah, biggest mobs.
Glenda, thanks for coming on the show. We've just been doing some dedications to Kimberley, because our Murish Mag goes up to Nyingana country now in Lagari Radio. So that's only been a new initiative since you've been on the program last. So you might want to think about while you're talking as to who some shout-outs up in Nyingana or Derby. But, yeah, so good to have you on the show. Big few days at Wacos and Kaswa. You've won an award. So... tell us how that came about. I mean, there's relationship, a long relationship with a partner. So tell us about that and our listeners as to why you're back on the program, because you've been a regular, and thank you for being, responding to our yarning. So, Glenda, tell us about this award.
Yes, so the award is in recognition of a community partnership between an ACCO and a CSO, a community service organisation, which is, of course, a non-ACCO, and how that partnership came about and what was the purpose of the partnership and what has come out of that partnership. And so my organisation, Carla Pulling, Aboriginal Corporation, is a partnership that we've had with the Australian Childhood Foundation that stems back to probably 15 years that I know of, that I've been involved with the Australian Childhood Foundation in various forms. And we first met when I worked at a service called Juraminda, and I was managing that service, and we had to set up our therapeutic and trauma-informed framework to work with our children and young people. So the Australian Childhood Foundation came in to help us develop that model and framework, and we just continued on with that relationship and that partnership. And I've worked for them across the, because it's a national organisation, so I've worked with them, you know, as the national manager for Aboriginal engagement and networking, and so that's been a really amazing journey. And then there came an opportunity in around 2010 to start setting up my own organisation, which of course is Carla Pulling, and they've supported me with that. They've provided a sort of back of house support, which is, you know, the HR, the finance, the so all those things that have helped us become an organisation, and also getting staff and being able to take for some of the programs that we are currently doing, which is the community foster care and the home stretch. And we're doing some other things as well, which we're also doing in collaboration or in partnership with ACF.
Good. Let's hear more about your ACCO, because the last time you were a guest on Murish Mag, you were working in another field. And a lot of the times we've talked is about NAIDOC. Let's not talk about NAIDOC just now. But your new organisation, explain that to our listeners on Murish Mag, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Lulgardy, because you're talking to Bob in Derby now. I was saying to people earlier that we're spreading ourselves like Vegemite. We tend to do that, eh? tell us about your newly formed organisation. It's only been a couple of years, eh? Just a year, perhaps.
Yeah, well, we've only been operating for a year. So, in January last year, I was the only staff member, and so we've grown now that we've got nearly 20 staff across the programs. But we set up a board in 2010, and so the board, we set up the organisation and the board around about 2010, and so from that time on we've just been slowly working on getting the organisation registered under ORIC, getting all our, you know, compliances with ORIC sorted, and also looking at what programs we would like to tender for. We knew we were going to do out-of-home care because of the recommissioning that was done by the government to make sure that there were more Aboriginal community-controlled organisations working in the out-of-home care space. So we've had the opportunity to do that and to get, you know, a tender as a new ACCO, which is quite amazing.
Right.
And but we've also did that in a way in a partnership with the Australian Childhood Foundation, in that we provide support across, you know, cultural competency, cultural awareness training, some cultural supervision, and they also then provide us with support around the therapeutic and trauma-informed responses.
Right.
And supervision around that as well. It sounds like it's been done pretty quickly, but it's actually been, for me, probably 10 to 15 years in the making.
Right,
and,
good.
And also, you know, when I think back to my lived experience as a child in care, you know, I always thought, you know, that we didn't get a very good, well, we got no support really from anyone. So, you know, how could I always thought, what would I like to do to make things better for our children in the care system and their families, based on the things that I didn't receive when I was in care, and being disconnected from family and culture.
Right. If you just tuned in, talking to Glenda Kickett, a long-time friend to RTRFM, and done a great deal of work in the Noongar community, particularly in the northern suburbs, but right across Noongar country. So the organisation, explain a little about that, how that came about, and the meaning of Kakuraling.
Yeah, so when I thought about setting up an organisation, and I had a few conversations with people, and one of them was Joe Tucci, who was the CEO of the Australian Childhood Foundation at that time, and he encouraged me to set up the organisation in preparation for the recommissioning of the out-of-home care sector.
Right.
And so I started working on that and invited a few Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to come on to, you know, just helping to set it up and become sort of like the interim board. And so we did that, and we just really worked towards, you know, getting the organisation registered through ORIC, and also doing our compliance.
Right.
And also then getting ready to do the tender, which was, you know, they were all big, huge jobs. So it is a lot of work and a lot of patience, I think, you know, and that sort of stuff. But it's been an exciting journey, and it's been, I think, a fantastic outcome for us, you know, as a community-controlled organisation, and also for the sector, and also for our, you know, families and children and young people that we're currently working with.
Glenda, congratulations on the work you've done. I mean, it looks like you've put a lot of thought into this, as you said, 15 years, and now you've been rewarded with this award. So that looks good for your resume and the organisation's resume. Can we just ask your feeling throughout trauma-informed and how your organisation would go about that? It's probably a tough one to respond to, but I'm sure you can. Just to give our listeners an idea of some of the work you're involved in, what is trauma-informed?
Well, trauma-informed is understanding, you know, particularly children and young people, why they act in a way that they act.
Yeah.
And most of the times it's because, you know, if they're dysregulated and they're out of control, that's, you know, dysregulation, that behaviour is actually telling you something. And sometimes they don't know why they're behaving in that way, and you ask the child or young person, why did you do that? They'll say, I don't know. And because they don't know.
They don't know.
And so, So it's really understanding what that behaviour is, what triggers that behaviour, how can then we put some strategies in place for that young person or that child to understand what might be a trigger and then to preempt that. So there's some strategies then that if they do sort of, respond to something that triggers them, you know, how then they can then regulate that. So it's understanding all that, but it's understanding, what trauma does to our brains and our bodies. And how that is stored within, our brains and our bodies. And, we often say, like, as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we are wired for, for trauma. It's in our DNA.
Yeah.
Because, it is passed down from one generation to the next. So understanding some of that. And, we see that every day in our families and our children. And, we do need to be trauma-informed. But, what's important for us to, and for, Carla Cooling, our work, is that we put a cultural lens over that.
Yeah.
Because we can talk about that all in, that theoretical way. But sometimes that doesn't make sense for our families and our children. But if we talk about it in a cultural way, that does make sense.
Of course, the cultural lens.
Yeah, so that's important. And Carla Cooling really means, Carla is fire and cooling is coming and going. So we just say return to campfire.
Lovely.
So that name just sort of came about because I was looking for a name for the organisation when I formed a bit of a working group, and one of the members of the working group said, why don't you name it something that has meaning for you and that has makes sense for the work that you do? And I said, actually, I do have the perfect name.
Good on you.
Carla Cooling.
Carla Cooling.
It's actually the name, the title of my master's thesis.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was really just looking at, how my family, the Kikit family of Kabaling, have maintained our connections and our association to the country since colonisation.
Wow.
And I thought it fitted perfectly because the work that we want to do is make sure our children and young people go back home to their campfires, to their families and their country.
Excellent.
And so it's important work.
Yeah, it is, Glenda. It's amazing work. And I think, as professionals, we're looking at things from a clinical lens all the time. And, we never take that moment to look at things from a cultural perspective. And I think, I'm encouraging people that are in the sector today to maintain that cultural lens and look at things and their practice, I guess, at the earliest possible point from a cultural lens. Because when you look at the Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy that is a part of Premier and Cabinet, it talks about culture at the heart, and it talks about the truth-telling. It talks about the healing. And I think it's so important that when we're working in these spaces and we're dealing with people that have trauma and intergenerational trauma, that we maintain that cultural lens, remove the clinical and the colonial lens and bring culture at the heart.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. That's so important. And, government and all these CSOs and other service providers need to just step back and allow, us, our ECHOs and our people in our communities and our service providers to lead in this space. And there would be better outcomes for our families and our children and young people.
Good on you.
Yep.
Well said. Stand back and let us do our own work from an ACCO point of view. Glenda, thanks so much for being on the program. You've been a real supporter of Murich Mag, and we're going to be talking to you some more soon, so it might even be around NAIDOC, but that's coming up soon. It'll be sooner than later. Glenda, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenda.
Wow, what an amazing warrior, and she's been recognised in the Noongar Warriors Awards, Wanjining. They were Wanjining who initiated the Noongar Warriors daily awards have been recognised, I think with NAIDOC, where they've been nominated. We'll talk about more about that later. But ACCO, if you've heard that for the first time, ACCO, we'll be saying it a lot more too, Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisation. So Glenda Kickett, been on the program a number of times, and yeah, Karkurling, an organisation in northern suburbs, back to campfires, and also chair of a National Aboriginal and Islander Day of Observance committee, which has been strong in Perth for a lot of years now, and with her leadership too, I might add. So we'll look forward to talking to Glenda sometime down the track. Hey, in the flavours of the Kimberley, we talked about Pigrams earlier. We'll talk about them some more too, but here's one of the original pieces of music, scrap metal, before they became Pigram Brothers. Here's Shanghai's in the Kitchen.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, from the cultural festival in the Kimberleys, from Broome, we hope you enjoy Scrap Metal.
Well, scrap metal before that community message. Shanghai's in the Kitchen. You know what Shanghai is? Eh? Shanghai's in the Kitchen.
Yeah,
as a lad, we made a few, eh?
Made a few of them in my time.
I think we called them Gings as well. Gings. Where'd that name come from? Gings. Oh. I bet it's a Noongar name that we haven't really thought about. Gings.
Yeah.
Shanghai in the Kitchen, yeah, scrap metal. Dedicating some music to the Kimberley today and to our Lalgardi listeners at Durban, Yinkana Country, and also talking about Minang people, and Jade Thompson was in earlier about the award that's been won for place-based reconciliation and the work that Reconciliation WA were undertaking down on Minang Country, Gurang Country, Ngawangarap, and around Tamblup and Katanning too. So we're going to hear more from Jade Thompson in the in the periods to come, as we're heading towards the bicentenary in Albany next year, 2026. And everyone will be doing a lot of work around that and, I guess, making sure that the bicentenary goes off well. Tony, we're going to go now. We're going to play another Kimberley person.
Yeah, no, it's been a great show and it's wonderful guests on, and it's really lovely to hear the Kimberley music, and we'll go out with Mary G.
Pardon my passion.
I hope so.